This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us here to give us his insight to the controversy that Major League Baseball is dealing with, the sign-stealing scandal in both Houston and Boston, is a former Major League General Manager. He ran the Mets for years. He's turned into a great MLB talk show host. He does it for SiriusXM's MLB Network and the leadoff spot, his show, early in the mornings. Mr. Steve Phillips joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How'd the last week go for you there, Mr. Phillips?
Yeah. Well, somewhat repetitive. It just changed teams throughout the course of the week, from Houston to Boston to New York. But obviously, a big story in the game, no question about it, and one that I think will have some historical perspective that in the future we'll look back on, you know, this sort of scandal and what took place with it. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of debate about a number of things, but I think the one thing seemed clear to me that I think Rob Manfred, it was his defining moment. I think he came out bold and strong, and I think that, you know, when you look at deterrence, you look at discipline, right? You want it to have two things. One, it's got to be punitive, that it hurts. And I think that he's done that, certainly with the Astros, with the fine, with the draft picks. And then, you know, suspending a manager, a general manager, for a year for an organization is pretty significant. And I think any other general manager or manager out there now will look at that and say, yeah, over my dead body, you guys are going to do this, because I'm not going to let it cost me my job. So I think that, you know, listen, it was a pretty provocative week, no question about it.
I agree with you. I think that Manfred has handled it as best he possibly can once it became as full-blown as it did. And I'm not going to point the finger at Manfred, but just baseball in general. And the commissioner has a lot of people that work for him and under him and with him. There were whispers about this for a pretty good while before it became full-blown when Mike Fiers decided to go full-on whistleblower. Did Major League Baseball just miss this? Was it a blind eye, like Bud Selig was accused of with steroids and the like? If this had been going on from 2017 on, and we're not punishing people till the 2020 season, how did Major League Baseball not get onto this earlier?
Yeah, so I think it's different than steroids in that the union and drug testing, everything else, you know, it was protected, and the union, you know, didn't let Bud Selig sort of take action. This is a little bit different. And look, in September 15, 2017, Rob Manfred sent a memo out to every general manager, every manager, and said, listen, after this Apple Watch situation with the Boston Red Sox, where they were deciphering the catcher's code from the video room and then sending the message to the dugout on a trainer's or Apple Watch and then signaling out to the runner on second base the code for the pitches, he put a stop to it. And he said, if anybody else does this, I'm telling you now, from this point forward, almost like you're disciplining your kids. Okay, now this time I really mean it. So if you do it again, you're going to be in trouble. And he only knows what he knows. And we've seen some changes in the system to where they put all of the cameras on a delay in the stadium. No camera cannot be on a delay in the stadium, other than in the replay review room. And again, which has been compromised, but what we've seen is organizations take some action. They did not, even though they were doing it when the ruling came out in September of 2017, the Astros didn't stop. They already had their system in place. They didn't stop doing it. They carried some part of it over into 2018, but you know, you don't know it until somebody is makes it aware. And then I think, listen, he's quickly investigated, and delivered the message. And, So I give him credit, not blame. And I think that he put everybody on warning in a way they'd never been warned before. Because if we think that this sort of cheating just started in 2017, we're nuts, right? In 1951, the shot heard around the world. We come later to find out Bobby Thompson knew he claims he didn't know that pitch that he hit off Ralph Branca. But what we do know is the Giants had the signs, and they were using a system to flash lights to be able to relay it to the hitters. Now we see the Jack McDowell story about Tony La Russa. They look, my Mets teams We put in video cameras for training purposes. But during a game that Ed Wade, general manager for the Phillies, noticed the camera was turning toward third base, the one that's on the screen behind home plate, and he kind of said, hey, do you know what's going on with that? I said, I don't, but let me make a phone call. Called down. Video guy said, yeah, oh, yeah. Bobby told us to just, you know, take a picture of the third base coach to see him flashing signs. I go, yeah, that's a violation. We're not allowed to do that. He goes, oh, well, I didn't know. I said, yeah, stop. And I went back to Ed. I said, it's done. It's stopped. But that's exactly what we're doing is trying to get the third base coach. And it will not happen again. And I went down after. And Bobby's like, I don't know. We had just put the cameras in. He's like, I didn't know that. And I said, yeah, we're not allowed to do that. And so we stopped. And I actually called the commissioner's office and told them about it and what we had done and told them I talked to Ed and we took care of it just so they were on the alert. But that's in 97, 98. And so, you know, we're talking about if we think the only cheating between now and then was what was taking place in Houston, in Boston, we're nuts. And so it was pervasive, and I think now we're trying to get a handle on it.
Steve Phillips here with us on CBS Sports Radio, lending insight to the scandal that Major League Baseball is dealing with. Sign stealing. Houston Astros have already lost their manager and general manager. The Boston Red Sox have lost their manager before a report on the Red Sox and there's alleged cheating that they did in 2018 when they won the World Series because their manager had done it before. In Houston, it's going to get uglier. It's just as this wound kind of scabs over, it's going to be ripped off again by the Red Sox. How quickly do you think MLB can get that report out, that investigation wrapped up, and let the Red Sox deal with anything more than they have to deal with the already new position that they're going to have to create for a new manager?
Yeah, I think pretty quickly. I do. I think that there's enough evidence, and I think that the Red Sox mutually agreed with Alex Cora, not just for the story coming out of Houston and that the Astros report, but also with the idea that, you know, they probably said, all right, what do we do here? Yeah, we can't do that either. And it became pretty clear that, they, you know, the Red Sox ownership knows what they did in Boston in 2018. Now, remember, the arrogant part of the Boston story is they were the impetus to the September 15, 2017 memo about the Apple Watch. And so for them to immediately go back in 2018 and do it again, I think is, you know, a sort of thumb their nose at the commissioner. And the shame of it all is that Dave Dombrowski, who I think is arguably a Hall of Fame general manager, who's not with the Red Sox anymore, was the GM in 2017 and the GM in 2018 when they won the World Series. And I suspect that even though he's not with them anymore, he probably gets a suspension, even though he's already made it clear he had no idea what they were doing with the Apple Watch in 2017 and has no idea what they were doing in 2018, where they were sort of taking the replay review room, running the information to the dugout and relaying it out on the field. And so, you know, I think this is going to have some painful ramifications for sure.
And I like Dave Dombrowski. I think he is a borderline Hall of Fame manager and a good dude, too. But can he really claim ignorance for that?
Yeah, I look, here's the thing. I didn't know that we were videotaping the third base coach. And so possible. So here's what I'll say is that I think it's, Dave Dombrowski's argument, I think, is a stronger one than Jeff Luhnow, because, you know, when I was general manager, when there was any sort of a decision to buy equipment, not bats and balls. I mean, I'd sign off on the bills for those, or have an assistant do it. But the idea that we're going to put in a video editing system, but getting a camera and a monitor that runs between the clubhouse and the dugout. And I walk between the clubhouse and the dugout a lot to get onto the field for batting practice. All of a sudden, this monitor's there, and I don't ask the question what it's for. Or after I see that the manager broke it twice, and I don't ask, well, what's going on? And there's somebody's asking, hey, can we do it? And somebody has to get it installed. Someone's calling engineering to get it put in place. So that, Jeff Luhnow said he didn't know, and that if he did, he would have stopped it. And I can only believe him, but I know that my experience would have put me walking by that monitor a few times that I likely would have asked what's going on. So I think there are things that happen. One time I was Mets general manager. We had enhanced our international scouting, hired a new scout down in the Dominican Republic. He got over aggressive, signed a player early. As we were getting a second team down there. So we were signing players all the time. So I'd get to, hey, we signed another six guys at $20,000 each. I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't get every detail of what it was. And turned out one of them we signed early before the appropriate date. When we turned in the contract, the Marlins had the player signed as well. Same guy. And the commissioner's office started digging into it, realized that both us and the Marlins had signed him early. And we both were penalized. He was put back out to free agency, could not be signed by either of our teams. And I know I personally got a $10,000 fine. And I thought, I didn't know what we were doing, but it doesn't matter. I'm supposed to know. And obviously had to take care of the fine.
All right. Speaking of not knowing, according to Brody Van Wagenen, he did not know that the you-know-what was going to hit the fan with Carlos Beltran the way that it did. And that he said the conversations were not had about how Carlos was going to come out when this report came out on his compliance with what went down in Houston. I think that the Mets have mishandled this in several different ways, but every once in a while you can mishandle something and still end up in the right place, which is they needed to replace Carlos Beltran. I didn't love the Beltran hire to begin with, so I think they actually could back into a pretty good result. How much egg is on the Mets' face right now?
Well, you know, it's a shame, right? I mean, this is an Astros story that the Mets get affected by for some reason. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And it feels like this sort of thing happens with the Mets in New York a lot, where it just seems like they always got some issue when, you know, it shouldn't be directly attached to them. And so it's a shame. Carlos was, you know, they didn't ask specifically, nor would they have anticipated. I don't think anybody else. Now they might, every interview from this point forward might be, have you ever been involved directly in sign stealing? Is probably a question now in an interview that never would have been considered before. Have you cheated in any way to be able to help your team win? You know, those aren't really questions you ask in an interview, but I think they probably will be. And so, you know, it wasn't one they thought to ask on the front end. They knew that he was great at being able to pick up how a pitcher tips his pitches and that sort of thing. He's always been sort of renowned for that. And so they hire him on November 1st. The story comes out November 12th. And what happened was, the Astros players and organization was able to contain, they were able to contain all of the people from their organization, but the former players were left out there, and the media got to Beltran, that, you know, where he should have said, I'm not going to comment on that. That's an Astros story. It's not a Mets story, and I'll let the Astros handle that. I'm not involved in it. And it would not have been a satisfying answer, but it would have been the right answer. Instead, he denied it, which sort of put him up against it, depending upon how the story came out. So, look, I thought there was still a narrow pathway where they could have kept him. Whether you like the hiring or not, just, you know, making a change now is very disruptive. I thought that if they had come out on the Tuesday after the Astros report, put him up there and said, listen, this is what I did. I was part of it. Because the report mentioned his name, but only it said Carlos Beltran and a group of players discussed ways to enhance the program. Didn't say he was a mastermind. Didn't say any of it. Didn't say any of it. So he could have come out and acknowledged his role, apologized for being scared of being caught when he lied about it, and said, you know, it compromises the way I want to live my life, and I'm you know, going to apologize and make right moving forward with that. I thought they could have gotten by it. It was, look, you're letting a guy go for something he did 3 years ago on another team as a player, not as a manager. But ultimately, the longer it went, the more it seemed like they had to make the move they did.
All right, last thing, this is a stance that I've taken, and I'll lay it on you, and you tell me if I'm right on point, if I'm woefully wrong, or maybe I'm overstating it. While cheating is the worst thing you can do, and the Astros, I think, have been appropriately punished, and we'll see what the ramifications are. We could go 20 years with this, with some of these players who may have their Hall of Fame status questioned when the time comes where they're eligible. So it's not going to be something we can answer today, tomorrow, or next week. It's going to go for a long time. But in addition to the cheating, I say shame on the Astros almost as much for stupidity as cheating. To think that no ex-player was ever going to get on what you were doing if you continued to do it after they left, specifically a pitcher who you're trying to beat with sign stealing, and you're going to continue to do it in the same way you've done it. What the heck? Shame on you for just being, I don't know if it's being egotistical or just outrageous or just flat out dumb, I can't believe that some people are questioning Mike Fiers. His number one loyalty has to be to himself. And if they're trying to cheat on him by doing what they did when he was a member of the team, how does he not say something? I'm as annoyed at the Astros for their dopiness as they're cheating. Am I overstating it?
No, but I think that I completely can respect and understand your position on it. I think that the reason I believed that here's the thing, I believe a lot more teams have cheated than the Houston Astros. And I think that what happens is players change teams all the time. They go to a new team, they may tell their guys there, hey, by the way, be on the alert. This is what my former team does to try to get your pitches. But the reason I think people don't always call it out publicly is because the team they just joined may be cheating and doing much of the same thing, and they don't want to call out the other team. They just want to be alerted to what they're doing because they don't want to call them out and then have somebody come after them. And so when the Mike Fiers story broke, what my first inclination was of the whole thing, the Oakland A's don't cheat. Because, he, you know, if they were, he would not have called out the Astros. He would have alerted his teammates. And so I kind of look at it and think this has gone on a lot. The reason we haven't heard it about it is because players change teams. They alert each other, but they don't call it out because a lot more teams than we think were probably doing it. And that's why I'm a little worried as to see how far the water is going to run downhill from Houston to Boston to where is the next dot going to be connected. And then the question is it after September 2017 or is it before that, or whether the commissioner will further investigate?
Steve, it's going to keep us talking for years to come. So that's a good thing. But, yes, it can get a little monotonous. And you and I both love the game, too. And it's not great for the game. But at least it'll keep us busy. You kept us busy for the last 18 minutes with great insight. Thank you much, sir. Hope to talk to you again soon, be it here or where we may be broadcasting elsewhere.
Terrific. Thanks, Jody Mac. Anytime.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.